What a great night. So we helped you out a little bit financially, I hope. But in a moment, we're going to be talking about seances, angels, and all those great things right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Sunny Dawn Johnston, internationally renowned psychic medium, author, motivational speaker. Now, since she was a little girl, Sunny has communicated with angels, guides, and of course, she has starred in a seance with Lisa Rinna. Also appeared in the award-winning documentary Sacred Journey of the Heart. And here she is on Coast to Coast. I believe this is your first time, Sunny. Is that right?
You know, I was on way back in 2007 for about 20 minutes with an organization I work with.
20 19. Minutes? That's all?
20 minutes. We had to split it up, but I got my special 20 minutes with you.
All right. Well, it's a little longer tonight. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a psychic medium. I was raised in Salt Lake City, Utah, so that makes for an interesting story right there. And I'm really excited to help people, you know, connect with the spirit world and get the fear out of it and recognize that they really can do this. And everyone, I really believe everyone can do this to some degree, not maybe, you know, be a medium for everyone else, but for sure be able to connect with the spirit world for themselves. So that's part of my purpose, I believe, is to help people learn how to make that connection and open those doors up for them.
Yep. Sunny, are you on a cordless phone by any chance?
I'm not.
Okay, because you're scratchy like crazy. So
scratchy. Well, hang on. Let me flip phones. I've got
All
another
right.
one.
Let's see what we do. The wonders of radio as we flip phones live across the world.
Okay, is that any better?
Sounds better.
Okay, we'll take that
perfect.
One.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect. See how we do that so seamlessly. Okay, so how did you get involved as a little girl? How did this happen to you? Was this genetic? Did you get this from your mother?
Well, you know, my mother actually does have some of this, but, you know, what happened for me was I never really knew that I had anything special until 13. And at 13, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I rolled over, and I saw this beautiful, colorful, winged being above my bed, and I was so calm that I literally just was like, I just felt like this peace and this calm, and I literally rolled over and just went back to sleep. And the next morning I woke up and I thought, okay, wait a minute, that was not normal. That's not typical. And I went downstairs and I told my mom, I said, you know, the strangest thing happened, but I was so calm and so peaceful. And she said, well, Sunny, that was your guardian angel. And I, at that time, had never even thought about having angels. I didn't really think I had one. I was kind of a chip on the shoulder kind of girl at the time. And so, but she went on to tell me that she had been in my room 2 hours earlier, because I did look at the clock and it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And she said, I came into your room about 11 o'clock and I prayed over you and I asked God and the angels to keep you safe and protect you. And so what I realized that day was that I awoke to the manifestation of her prayer. And that was the day that started everything, because then I was like, oh my gosh, there's this whole other world that exists that I've never known anything about. So I started asking for, you know, I wanted to have more experiences like that, because I was never one that really felt peaceful and calm. I was kind of, all the time, you know, and so it was something I wanted to experience again.
Well, and you did, again and again and again. And as you grew up, did you find that it was easier for you to communicate with the other side?
I did. You know, I started very shortly after that also having experiences with the spirit world. We had a ghost that lived in our house, and I could see her. My little brother could see her. And so we started having a variety of different experiences. And I would have an experience, and I would really embrace it. And then I'd go, I don't want to be weird and different. You know, so I had this struggle, this conflict. I think a lot of people have. For probably 15 years, really, on and off, back and forth kind of battle.
Well, now you have dealt with all kinds of things with the spirit world, but, you know, watching your videos and your personality, Sunny, you're an upbeat person. Have you ever come across, though, the dark side of all of this?
You know, I have, absolutely. In my own personal life, I think the experiences that I've had with the dark side were really, from my experience, misinterpretation initially when I first started having experiences. You know, I had one when I was 19 years old, and I was with I was taking care of a little boy whose dad had passed. And when I went downstairs in his basement area, I just felt this heaviness and density that literally just scared the living crap out of me. And I ran upstairs. I was by myself. I was in charge of him, and I ran upstairs with him and my own son, and we just, you know, sat at the corner of the living room all night long until the next morning. But I kept praying and just saying, oh my God, this is, I'm so scared. I don't know what to do. And finally, what I realized was when I called in my angels and I asked for that help, which I did, I realized that I was feeling the energy of spirit, but because of my surroundings and because of not being familiar with this particular energy, it was really actually his father. But I was scared because I wasn't aware, and so I'd misinterpreted that. So once I called the angels in and I asked for that support, then I felt that safety and that security and went on to then feel his presence and be okay with it. So I think sometimes it's the fear of the unknown, you know, it's like, ah, what is that? And then opening up and going, okay, wait, I'm safe and it's okay.
Have you ever had that situation where they did not show up when you needed them to?
My angels, or yeah, my support team, so
yeah,
to speak?
Exactly.
I've felt like they haven't shown up for sure. you know, I've had many, many life experiences where I've been like, hello, I need help right now. You know, I'm on the floor begging, and have felt abandoned for sure. But what I really look at now is that at those times, I really actually was being supported, but I wasn't being supported the way that I thought I should be. Or the way that I was expecting it, maybe might be another way to say it.
You conduct seances, or do you attend them?
I conduct them.
All right. What are you trying to accomplish with them?
Well, you know, I think the word seance gets a bad rap. You know, really, if we wanted to even just look at the definition of seance, it really just means to sit. It comes from a French word meaning to sit. And so the idea of a seance is really just to sit and call in or invite in the energy of the spirit world. And so what I intend to accomplish, I guess, is to be an open channel to help support whoever it is that I'm, whoever it is in the physical realm that I am inviting the spirit realm in to connect, to maybe create some closure for someone, or to offer some healing or some understanding. But I think that, you know, the word seance, it's gotten a really bad rap. So many people do this on a daily basis now. You know, we have TV shows all over that we never had 20 years ago with people really doing seances. They're just not using that word because it's too creepy for some reason.
Well, I think Harry Houdini gave it a black mark, you know,
yeah,
when he was out trying to find his mother through seances and,
yeah,
you know, came across all the frauds involved. And in the early days, when they didn't have radio and they didn't have television, seances were also parlor entertainment,
yes,
for people, wasn't it?
Yep.
You'd gather the people around, and then they'd have fun, and they'd bring the medium in, and they'd all try to conjure up your dead relatives and things.
Exactly.
Like that. It was the Saturday night event. Huh?
That's what I hear, yes. And you know, and I think that it, for some people, they still look at it as entertainment. And then the people that really have some life-changing experiences recognize the value of it and the healing that can occur from it. And so I think that part of it is the intention that you go into a seance with also.
Well, it's entertainment until you get tapped on the back of the shoulder by some spirit or something, huh?
Then it makes them a believer,
yeah,
right?
Have you had a bad experience in a seance?
Oh,
or
God.
I should say a scary experience, not a bad experience.
You know, I have had some experiences where I have felt the presence of what I would say lower vibrational energies and or seen them. But I wouldn't say I've had a bad experience. And I think that's because, you know, I was taught at a young age, actually, I was introduced to Archangel Michael shortly after that guardian angel experience. And I've learned how to ask for and call in that energy of protection or support. And so I have witnessed that lower energy, and I've observed that, but I haven't myself, except for that time when I was 19, actually had what I would say was a fear-based experience. But I've observed it with other people, certainly.
These experiences, when you're in a seance, what are you trying to communicate? What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, I think what I'm trying to communicate is really whatever it is that the spirit world is trying to share with their loved one. And oftentimes they've been trying to communicate with them, trying to get a message across to them, and they're blocked, or they're not feeling connected, or they're not, a lot of times they're not open to it. You know, they're just really not present enough to receive the messages the spirit world is giving them. So I think that's number one. And then oftentimes for the person that's physical, they're looking really, ultimately they're looking for closure. You know, I get the same questions all the time. Are my loved ones okay? Are they happy with the choices that I made? Do they know how much I loved them? Those are usually the three questions that I get. And most of the time, those answers are yes, they're okay. Yes, they know that you love them, and they're fine with the choices. Generally speaking, though, that does seem to be the answer most of the time.
We're with Sunny Don Johnston, the psychic medium. And Sunny, when these seances are being conducted, if one believes in reincarnation and this spirit or soul has moved on into another physical body, are they then gone? Does that mean you cannot find them in a seance?
No, not at all. Actually, I just wrote a blog about this.
Tell me about this.
This is my experience. So, as physical beings, we all are connected by this spirit energy, and we have in our connection, let's say in the outer realms, wherever you want to call that, our soul carries all memory of every lifetime experience that we've ever had. And so, like, for example, right now, an aspect of my soul is Sunny. But maybe 90 years ago, an aspect of my soul was John. So if someone was wanting to connect with John and maybe knew that person, obviously I don't right now, then they could always have that connection. So if I'm wanting to connect with someone who's passed that maybe is already even reincarnated, I just have to connect with the vibration and energy of their soul and that aspect that we knew them as here, and that's how I can connect with them. So it's not ever gone, because it's almost like slices of a pie or spokes of a wheel or pieces of an orange. Those aspects still exist in the wholeness of the soul, if that makes sense.
Every day we get calls from people who want help because their houses have negative energy or they come across it, and you have some tips on how to push that away.
I do. You know, I think a lot of people do the things like burning sage. You can say a prayer and help clear the space. One of the things I really like to do if it's me that's clearing the space for someone is just infuse the space with love. That vibration shifts so much of the negative energy that people are feeling. But I have a little secret tool that I was taught years and years and years ago. It's called a green fire.
What's that?
A green fire is actually, you use a very heavy pot, and you put Epsom salt in the bottom of it, and then you pour just a little teeny bit of rubbing alcohol, just enough to make the Epsom salt covered, and you light it. And you have to do this in a safe place, like in, you know, usually a bathtub or a sink, because the fire, especially if there's a lot of spirit activity, dense, heavy spirit activity, it gets very big, and it's literally like a green fire. The flames turn green. But that will transmute and shift energy quicker than anything I've ever used before.
Now, when you do these techniques, how do you know they've worked?
Well, I have a great story I could share with that.
All right.
I had a friend 3 years ago that committed suicide.
Oh, my gosh.
And as soon as we found out, literally minutes later, we drove over to his home. And once the police and everyone was there and they took his body out, I went in the house to turn off the lights. And when I went in, literally, I could feel I knew that it was his spirit, but it was so dark that I wouldn't have recognized it, except for that this is what I do. And he literally, I turned the lights out, but he literally just almost haunted me out of the space. And I could just feel that density. And so the next morning, my husband and I got up, and we both felt like we really needed to go back to that house. And he had shot himself, and so there was quite a physical mess, as well as that energetic density. And my husband and I felt like we both needed to go and clean and clear that space. And so I went in for about the first 45 minutes, and I did a clearing, and I did a blessing. I infused the space with love. I talked to him. I called in the angels, and I did a green fire. I actually did two green fires. And literally, we then cleaned the space, and his girlfriend said she would never be able to walk in that house again. She literally came that afternoon just to come and get some of her stuff.
Sure.
She lived there for another year and a half.
Wow. Wow.
It was a pure, sacred place that his spirit chose to leave this physical body, but it was now sacred space again.
I've known two people that have taken their own lives, both
it's
professionally.
So difficult.
And it is difficult. And I got to tell you, everybody around them did not see this coming.
Yes.
I mean, it's just like one day they wake up and they do it.
Yeah. 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 I've lost three friends to suicide in 6 years, all males. And I would say two of those three were that situation where, you know, yeah, they had some problems. Yeah, there were different things happening, but that never would have been something that you would say, oh, yeah, this is going to happen.
What have been the age brackets of them?
The age brackets were 35 to 50.
Yeah. Relatively young people.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure young in this day and age.
And
heartbreaking. You know, I think that suicide is one of the things that we struggle the most with, because even myself, I'd had a great relationship with him. I loved him dearly. He knew I loved him. And as soon as I found out, the first thing I thought was, the first place I went to is, oh, my God, did I give him a hug the last time I saw him? And the second place was, could I have done anything? Even though I had a great relationship with him and knew that, you know, I think we question ourselves, what could we have done differently?
Well, the one friend of mine, he was a sportscaster. I worked with him in Detroit, and then I moved on to Minneapolis, and he stayed in Detroit, but I think they eventually let him go. And then he had a difficult time finding work, and he had called me one day, and he said, hey, can you do me a favor? I said, what? His name was Red, and he said, my insurance is going to lapse. I got to pay the premium. Can you send me $300? And I said, yeah, Red, I'll do that. And so I went to Western Union and I wired it to him. And I guess he paid it, but he killed himself the day after that. He literally wanted to pay his insurance policy, because he had it for years, for his family.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that it sounds familiar.
I always wondered if I didn't send him the $300, what he would have done.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he would have found it another way.
Yeah,
I think that's that. You know, but questions like that are what we ask ourselves. You know, and how could we have maybe made a difference or done something different, or should we or shouldn't we have done something? You know, just like your question.
When we come back, Sunny, after the break, I want to ask you what you think the afterlife is, because you know, so many of us are wrestling with, why are we here? Who are we? What's on the other side? And, you know, I've interviewed skeptics on this program, non-believers, and I can't convince them otherwise, and I don't spend my time to anymore. But I want to get your take on that. Your website is your name, right? Want to quickly spell it out for us?
Sunny, like the sun, S-U-N-N-Y, Dawn, like the rising of the sun, D-A-W-N, and then John Sten, johnston.com.
All right, and we've got that linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. We're going to come back and talk more about the afterlife. She's got a couple books out called The Love Never Ends and Invoking the Archangels. Well, if you go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, and at the top you'll see events, click that. I've got a couple coming up. As a matter of fact, the end of May, I'll be at the Contact in the Desert. That's an amazing event. Giorgio Tsoukalos will be out there with me, along with Eric Von Daniken. And then the first week of June, hard to believe, June. Danny, where'd the month go? I'm going to be in Vancouver, British Columbia, at a major stage event. This is the one with the full band and everything else. So if you're out in that area, come in from Washington or Portland or out there in Canada, come on by that event as well. Welcome back. Sunny Don Johnston with us, the renowned psychic medium. And Sunny, we are obsessed with trying to figure out who are we, what are we, what is the other side. I'm beginning to think that it's just all part of the universe. Everything that was formed it's normal. It's not supernatural by any means. We just haven't all figured it out yet. Some people like you have. But what's your take on all that?
Well, I don't know if I figured it all out yet, because I feel like I have lots of questions too. So I'm learning like all of us. But I guess, you know, from so many of the experiences that I've had, and a lot of it has been learning through the spirit world, is that, you know, I think we're really, this is natural. It's a part of us. And it's just learning how to connect and open up to the parts of us that maybe we didn't realize, this whole other unseen realm that if we open up, we can tune into and tap into. So, you know, the other side or the afterlife, I think, is not necessarily a location. You know, it can be anywhere. And it's really more of this vibration. You know, I think a lot of people have this, we hear the stories about the white light, you know, and when people transition, they go to the light. And, you know, I had an experience where I was near death for almost 3 weeks, and I never saw a white light.
3 weeks?
So I'm like,
Sounds like you just saw it.
Maybe now. Yeah, so I think that generally once people transition, there is this kind of white light energy. My experience is that those are the light beings that are really there to help us to heal and transition from physical back to our nature, our soul, who we really are.
Well, let me be the devil's advocate for a moment.
Okay.
How do we know this is not some anomaly in the brain, so that when people are near death, you know, there's some kind of short circuit, and all of them see what they think is a light, but it's just something in the brain?
Well, I guess what I would say is, for those that are in the near-death experience, it could be that, but like in my experience, I didn't actually see any light at all. So I just thought I was going to hell.
You had no brain.
Or maybe I have no brain. So, you know, I think that those are, I think that's a great question. How do we know? My experience, though, is that so many that have passed afterwards talk about having that experience with the white light. And if we're saying, you know, okay, well, it's an anomaly of the brain, well, then when our brain is disconnected, when we're no longer in physical form, and we interpret or we tune in or we see that white light energy, then how do we explain that?
So they come to you, these spirits come to you, right?
Yes, they come to me, or I open myself up for them, yes.
Has any medium ever been able to go to them?
I don't think so. I don't know for sure, but I could speak for myself, and I can't go out and find them, like the question that you're asking. You know, people say, well, I want to talk. You know, I had one reading that I did, and the lady's like, I said, I've got your dad here. She goes, I want to talk to him. I want to talk to my mom. I'm sorry, I can't go find your mom. I don't know how to do that. All I can do is open up, raise my vibration, and then get to a place where I can be receptive to the energies that come to me. But I would say that in my awareness, they can't go find them.
Have you ever been, or do you think you've ever been, duped by a spirit? Tricked?
Oh, interesting question.
Like you thought you were talking to someone, but it was really someone else?
Uh-huh. Well, they were really good if they duped me.
All right.
They were really good. So not in my awareness.
Okay.
That's an interesting question, though.
You have done some work with Find Me as a psychic detective. Tell me what your role is with that.
You know, we Find Me is a nonprofit organization, and we work on missing persons cases all over the world. And we have about 110 psychics, I think, now, and search and rescue animals and retired police and ex-DEA agents, things like that. And I work as the psychic investigator to help find closure for the cases. So we actually work a missing persons case similar to like how police would do it, in the sense of we actually fill out a form that asks for information about the suspects and, you know, latitude and longitude of the bodies. And everybody, every psychic does it a little bit different. We have some that are astrologists and forensic astrologists. We have some that are dowsers. And for me, I just kind of tune in and work to connect with either the spirit that died and or the energy of the suspects, and open myself up to then get some specific words or locations or license plates or addresses or things like that. And then we fill out a police report and send it to the police and hope that they follow through with our leads. You know, we can't be guaranteed that, obviously, but that's the goal. And, you know, our organization's done really, really well for a group of people that are just all over the world coming together to support closure, really.
And how have some of the real police officers reacted to you as a psychic detective?
Yeah. Well, that's actually why I got involved in the group, because I was having experiences on my own and calling police stations and saying, okay, this is what I see and this is what happens. And you know, okay, thank you very much, ma'am. And then it started turning the tables. How do you know that information? And that scared the crap out of me. You know, like, I don't want anything. You know, I had it in a dream, and I don't want anything to do with the case. So I found Find Me. And, you know, the police are opening up. I think our world is expanding. So initially, it was really tough. And a lot of police agencies didn't necessarily want to work with us, or specific officers didn't. But I think that, and certainly there's still some of those, but more often than not, we get cases they're at a dead end, and they have nothing else to go on anyway, and so we're kind of a last-ditch effort in a lot of the cases. Unfortunately, I wish we got them sooner, because I think we could really do something if we had some connection in the very, very beginning that might lead to, you know, life-saving.
What's been the saddest case you've been on, Sunny?
Gosh, they're all sad.
They are.
You know.
Do they always end tragically?
We had one case where I actually was doing an event here in Phoenix, and a family came up to me and said, "Our son's been missing for 2 days, and that's why we came to this event. And I wondered if you could help." And I said, "Well, let me get my organization involved," and we did, and he was actually found, I think, 2 weeks later in a mental hospital. But all of the psychics had really tapped into the different areas. He had some mental illness. So he was found alive. You know, I think we did a case years ago for a little boy, and he was a year and a half old, and just that somebody broke into their house, abducted him, and tied his family up and left. And this was in, I think it was in England or something. And all of us as psychics, because we got the case right away, like literally hours after it happened, and I could see him, I could see them taking him, I could see them like where they were going in a car, and then I could see him on a motorcycle, on like the back of a motorcycle, and so we were really hopeful, because there were so many of us that had specific information about these people, license plate, pieces of the license plate, things like that, and then all of a sudden, there was a shift like 12 hours later in my body where I knew he was dead. And we found out, you know, through about 2 days later, that they did have him, and they were going to hold him as ransom, because his father worked at a, they're like post offices over there, but they hold the money. So they're like a, mm-hmm. It's like a post office, but they keep the money there. So they were going to hold him for ransom. And when they were on the motorcycle crashed, and the baby fell off and hit his head, and he didn't die, but that scared him, so they killed him.
Jeez. Well, I know the late Sylvia Brown told two families that their children had died, they had been abducted and killed, mm-hmm. and they found them both alive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you gotta temper what you're saying. Hey, let me get this quick story in. A magnitude 7.4 earthquake striking tonight near Nepal. That's 2 weeks after a quake killed 5,000 people there.
Oh,
they're getting rocketed. Jeez.
Oh, wow. We need to, yes, definitely send some love to them right now.
But as a psychic detective, police work with you. They don't laugh anymore, do they?
But, you know, they really don't. I mean, I think there's always going to be the ones, you know, but I think they recognize that at this time, you know, the media, your show, has helped the world open up to this realm. You know, growing up, I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah in the 70s, and we didn't, there was nowhere to go. There weren't people to talk to. You know, they didn't have a new age section. It was a very scary thing to be different. And so the media has really helped support getting this message out there. And so I think that it's helped the average everyday person say, okay, you know what, maybe it's weird, maybe it's odd, what have you, but what if it works? You know, and that's always been my statement to the police is, what's the worst thing that could happen that we could help, you know? And so that's where sometimes egos get involved a little bit. They mm-hmm. want to do it their way. But more often than not, we've really had a lot of great support, really great support.
Well, it's an amazing field with what you do, and there's got to be something to it. I mean, there's no question that there's something out there on that other side. I used to remember seeing old Twilight Zone episodes about other dimensions and what could be out there. It's there. It's a grand scope. Now, the big question for you tonight, Sonny, is do you think this was all done by a grand creator? The intelligent design concept.
Well, I believe that we are all part of that. Intelligent design. Do I think there's one specific being? No, but is there an energy that we are all part of and connected to that is that universal life force energy? Absolutely.
But you do believe it was intelligently created?
Yes.
This is not a fluke?
Yes, I do. I do. You know, I was raised with the kind of idea of, you know, God sitting in a chair up on a cloud looking down at you and saying, okay, you're bad, you've done this or you've done that. So that was kind of the idea that I had growing up. And I absolutely see that I see why people believe that and why we have a lot of fear of kind of opening up to there being this universal oneness and this connection and that. And I do believe it's an intelligent
Edgar Casey, we believe, died because he gave too many readings and it weakened him. Do you ever get exhausted or tired because of this?
Great question. In the beginning, I did. In the beginning, it was very difficult for me to hold my own energy. And the other thing that I would do is I would take on all of the feelings. You know, I would feel the sadness of the client and I would feel the physical pain and the way the person died in my body, and so it was difficult. But about 15 years ago, I started getting very consistent with calling in my protection, working with Archangel Michael, and really asking for that support so that I could be an observer of the energy instead of an absorber of the energy. And for me, that was life-changing, literally. And I think you don't even have to be a medium for that. You know, people have struggles going into crowds because they take on the energy of all the people that are there, and then they wonder why they're drained or irritated or angry. So I've really been someone that supports everyone learning how to hold their own vibration so that they're not affected by everyone around them.
Sonny, one of your books is called Invoking the Archangels. Who are the angels? If you don't believe in a single creator, you just said that, mm-hmm. Who are the angels?
Well, the angels are another aspect of this co-creation that we are all a part of, just another divine aspect like we are. But they, in my experience, they're not physical beings, so they don't incarnate into physical bodies. They're in a higher vibrational space, and they're really here to help support those of us that are in this physical experience, help guide us, help support us. I believe they give us the intuition of our higher self, helping guide us into what is for, you know, our highest good. They're really supporters, I believe, and helpers in our realm.
Are there bad angels?
Well, I haven't experienced any, but I definitely know that a lot of people have. But personally, I haven't had any experience with negative with the negative energy in the angelic realm.
Sounds like you've been lucky you haven't gone through the bad levels.
Well, you know, I think a lot of it really is, I had this amazing experience when I was 13 with Archangel Michael, and it gave me more proof than I could ever need to say, oh, okay, I can just ask for his help and know that I am safe and protected. And I believe that because I have experienced that, believed that, and been committed to that, I haven't had the same experience as other people have.
Are you afraid of dying?
I'm not.
Though you don't want to check out too early.
I'm not ready. I mean, I got stuff to do, you know. But I'm not afraid of death. And actually, I think I feel more open and more okay with it because of the experiences I've had.
Huh.
You know, I don't want to be like, I'm only 44, you know, I got lots of years.
You should, yeah.
I do feel like, hey, if I went, I could get back here to connect with people, and I could help them open up, and they would get my messages. So I feel like, okay, I can do that when it's time, but I think I've got a good 23 years.
Well, you got more than that.
Well, you know, I've always, since I've been young.
My dad went until he was 88.
Yeah, well, I would like to, but, yeah. You know, I've always been, since I was young, heard that I was going to die at 76. And 76, when I was, you know, in my 20s, seemed like really far away. But as I'm getting older, it's getting a little closer.
Wow. His father died, my grandfather, I never knew him, at 50. And
wow.
as my father was getting close to that age, mm-hmm. you could see him really look concerned.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
once he passed that, there was no stopping him.
You know, I've had a lot of clients that have had experiences like that, and because it's been, you know, a history in the family, you know, my aunt died at 44 and my grandmother died at 45, or, you know, they really, I think, put in motion that fear, like you said, you could see in your dad. And sometimes I think it might be a self-fulfilling prophecy because there's so much energy and fear around it. And if they can find a way, obviously like your dad did, to be able to either believe something different, or they start taking better care of themselves, they do something to turn that around so they have a different experience, because it really does take control over people, for sure.
And for people who want to go to seances wherever they may live, how do they find that? Is there a seance website or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of. You know, I think generally I would tell people to always find a referral. When you're looking for a psychic medium, you don't want to just go to the Yellow Pages or go on Google and just, you know, just pick one, unless you go through them and you really go through and feel what resonates with you, like a person that feels safe. Because there are, I mean, I've been doing this, you know, for years and years, but the reality of it is there are people out there that are just there to take advantage of you and just want your money, and people that will say that you have curses on you and things like that. I come across that in my own field more often than I would like.
Well, I always say go to the psychic who charges the less, because those folks just want to get the information out. We'll be back in a moment with Sunny Dawn Johnston, her books, The Love Never Ends, Invoking the Archangels. Hey, it's time for your calls. We'll do that next.